HABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of HABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about HABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Events Committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Hi, my name is Pauline.
And I'm her brother Arnold.
Our mom volunteers at HABU. She's just one of the 500 volunteers that keep the station running.
Thank you for listening to HABU and supporting the station.
You are a member, right?
If you're listening to the station, you should be a member.
Remember, it's community radio, and you're part of the community.
KBOO's Fall Drive Daily Prize Drawing Rules. Everyone who donates will be entered into the daily prize drawing. No purchase necessary to be entered. Making a purchase or contribution will not improve an individual's chance of winning. The prize drawing is subject to all applicable federal, state, and local laws and regulations. Void where prohibited or restricted by law or regulations. To enter, call 877-500-5266 between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. and provide your name, complete address with zip code, date of birth, and day evening phone numbers with area code. Only one entry per person per household will be accepted each day. Winner will be determined in a random drawing daily between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. Winner may be notified by telephone the following day. For a copy of official prize drawing rules and restrictions, and for the name of the winner, go to kboo.fm/fall-daily-prize. And thank you!
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Revolution Coffee House, located at 1432 Southwest 6th Avenue in Portland, serving traditional comfort Mexican drinks, cafe de olla, food, and desserts. Lunch was provided by Bridges Cafe and Catering, located at 2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, serving breakfast all day, every day, and lunch on weekdays from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Dinner was provided by Di Nicola's, located at 3520 Southeast Powell Boulevard in Portland, serving Italian food for over 40 years. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
All right, it's 9:02 a.m. and you are listening to KBOO Portland. And as we just heard so many of our friends saying, it is time to support KBOO during the fall membership drive by calling 877-500-5266 and tell the volunteer who takes your call how you wish to pay your radio bill. You can also do the same thing easily, safely, conveniently, and securely online at kboo.fm when you click the button with the word donate on it. And now it's time for Veterans Voice on your community radio.
Welcome to Veterans Voice on KBOO 90.7 FM here in Portland, 91.9 FM Hood River, and 104.3 FM Corvallis in Albany. And you can also hear KBOO FM on the World Wide Web. And if you want to hear some of our old shows, you can go to kboo.fm/veteransvoice. And Angie usually puts stuff on Facebook, so if you want to see some of the wonderful things Angie puts on the Facebook, you can just go to Facebook, put Veterans Voice Radio Show. I'm Marvin, and Angie's in Central Oregon with her parents right now doing some stuff for them, and we text each other and talk, and I miss her when she's not here, but she'll be back, and we'll be... She's already working on a couple more shows that we're going to be doing. So Angie's well and kicking. a couple days ago, a friend died, and her name was Jessie Sezu, and she was the founder and the lead singer for indie rock group back in Tennessee called Those Darlings, and she was a wonderful singer and a wonderful person, and she died at the age of 28, and she died of cervical cancer, and she's really going to be missed by her family and her friends and her fans. She was wonderful. And you can go on YouTube and just put in Those Darlings, and you can see some of the stuff her and her band did. They're really great, and she's going to be missed a lot. So that's a sad thing. But today I'm going to talk about the last show I did. I talked about my time back in Greensboro, North Carolina, when I went to the Death to the Klan rally and wanted to, let people know how vicious and violent the Klan is and the American Nazis are. And I got a lot of messages from you folks out there and asked me some questions about it and everything. And so I'm just going to kind of go back and just talk a little bit about it, what had happened that day. It was November the 3rd, 1979, in Greensboro, North Carolina, when the rally that five people were killed and about 9 or 10 had been wounded. What had happened is that the Ku Klux Klan and the American Nazis knew about the rally, and they weren't going to put up with it. And so what happened was that I got up there with my two friends, Dan and Frank, a couple days early so we could, meet people and everything. And so, like I said last week, there were 10 cars with the Nazis and then in the Ku Klux Klan in them. There was 40 of them, 40 of these fascists. And they drove right through the street, right where everybody was standing, just drove right through the street. They turned around and went back up the street. I was about two blocks down, and they came right by us, and they turned around and went back up. And then they turned around again. And as they came to a certain spot, they stopped, and they got out of their cars, they went back to their trunks, they opened their trunks and pulled their guns out and started shooting people. And they killed four people. And those people that they killed were all union organizers. They had gone to the Greensboro area to try to organize the textile factories in that area. And so they were all of them were union organizers, and they and the ones that got wounded, the four got killed, and the nine or ten, I can't remember which it was, were wounded, and one of them, I can't remember his name, I heard later he was paralyzed and he has been in a wheelchair all of his life. But people sent me messages, and they were asking things like, Where were the four people that were murdered? Were they targeted? And yeah, they were targeted for sure, because they were the ones that doing the organizing. They were the ones that did all the organizing, and they were killed. They knew who they were looking for, and they went after them. And the police and there was two informants in those groups, the Klan and the American Nazis. One was an alcohol, tobacco, and firearm agent, and the other was an informant for the Greensboro Police Department. And so they knew what was going to happen. In fact, the reports that they got during the trials, they knew that there was going to be violence, and they did nothing about it. Nothing about it. And they're going to they were very, very violent. And the other ones they asked, the question I was asked about was about the informants. And like I said before, there was an alcohol tobacco informant, and there was the Greensboro police informant. And they just got away with it. They were saying, the trial, they were saying things like, you know, well, we really didn't know what they were going to do, but then we got the reports and we read what they knew what they were going to do, so they got away with it. And then the one question that people asked me was very interesting, and they asked me, why did I run towards the gunfire? And I've thought about that a lot, and what I know is that that's what I was trained in the military to do. When there was gunfire, you go towards the gunfire. And that's what I did. I automatically went to the gunfire. And by the time I got up there, the Klan and the Nazis had already put their guns back in their cars, and they were heading out. And everything was filmed. There was news people there, and they filmed everything. And but they got away with it. There were two different trials, and the Klan and the Nazis got away. I mean, the first one, not guilty. The second one, not guilty. But they had a third one, and that was going after them for the denying of the civil rights of the people who were killed and shot, and they won that one. We won that one. And we got only, I think, at the time, it was like $350,000 for that, and most of that went to, of course, the attorneys and to the people, families of the men who got men and one woman, Sandy, got shot and killed, and it went to those people, and then the guy in the wheelchair got some. So, you know, that's what people were asking me about, and people ask me, you know, why do I do the things I do? You know, why do I think it's so important that you stand up for people, that you take care of people? And the thing that I do it with, and a lot of my friends do, and that's part of our post-traumatic stress disorder from being in a war. And what I have is survivor's guilt. And you know, it's like, why did I live when my friends, you know, were killed in Vietnam, and why wasn't I killed? And that's a really hard one to deal with, but you know, you have to do it. You have to deal with that. And so that is my problem, is the survivor's guilt. And I'm going to talk about a couple more things that I've done. You know, I've done this show for 26 years, and I've never really talked about you know, some of the things I've done in those years and why I do it. So I'm going to do that. And Sam, are we ready to go to Pledge Central? Okay, let's do it. Now Ani's out in the Pledge Central, and hey, Ani.
Why, hello.
Why, hello. Hello, Annie.
Marvin, it's you. And here we are at KABU. Our fall membership drive has just begun. And I know that you are listening right now because you value what Veterans Voice brings you. You know that this is such an important show. Marvin and Angie, when she's able to join us, bring you a perspective that is left out of so much of the media. And it's a perspective that really, it's so important to be able to share how our vets treated. Once, you know, we have this military war economy that's what is sort of, you know, the backbone of our economy, and our military actions overseas seem never ending and always growing. And when do we get a chance to hear from the people who have been there, who are saying, whoa, how this is done and how we are treated is so much different than anything you've learned in third grade. And it's the truth. And it's sometimes hard to hear, and sometimes it's inspiring to hear, but it's always important to hear. And right now, you can support this message. You allow it to happen. You create the means for this message to be spread when you call in with your contribution to 877-500-5266. Right now, your contribution of $15 a month goes a long way to make KABU financially strong, and you know that together we can take actions that sustain the entire community. Sustain KABU with your $15 a month contribution. Know that you are participating in this important conversation and that you are dialing right now to make it happen. See yourself as part of this solution. That number again is 877-500-5266. That is the number to call when you have that moment this morning. Just make that moment now. 877-500-5266, or you can go online to kboo.fm. Also, everyone calling this morning is entered in a prize drawing. Ken, you can maybe talk to some folks. I'm Ani. I'm here with Ken, and we are here to let you know about the fall membership drive.
Oh, Ani, first I have some thank yous. Chad in Portland, a new member. Thank you, Chad. And Justin in Portland, another new member. But the prize drawing Annie was talking about was, excuse me, Friday, September 15th. That's today. You can become a member and be entered to win the prize. Today's drawing is for you and your home with $100 from the Rebuilding Center. And that's your local recycled goods specialist. A $200 gift certificate from Cargo gets you unique trappings from all around the world. I think that's kind of a gift bag there from Cargo. And we'll be offering a new prize every day of the drive. So these two prizes are for today, September 15th. You can get them by becoming a new member and calling us at 877-500-5266. And again, the thank yous to Chad in Portland and Justin in Portland. I wonder if they're veterans. Ani, my dad's a veteran, and I've been to the Veterans Administration in the hospital with him several times. And these guys, I've had wonderful conversations with them. You just sit down and ask them about their experiences and also their experiences present day with the Veterans Hospital, mm-hmm. and getting health care. And it's somewhat scandalous.
It is scandalous, and that's why I'm so thankful for Marvin's work here and for Veterans Voice, which does come and shares those stories and shares the hard news about how veterans are treated and veterans' benefits and what happens in war from their perspective. It's so very important to support conversations like this, and your gift right now keeps all of these conversations going. So please call in with your contribution at 877-500-5266 so that we can continue to engage in these deep conversations, bringing you vital news that you can use. 877-500-5266.
Okay, thanks, Ani. Thanks, Ken. It's really great. And the Veterans Hospital, I really know what Ken's talking about, because that's where I get my medical care, up on the hill at the Veterans Hospital. I'm going to talk a little bit about what, after the Greensboro happened, and Dan and Frank and I came back to Nashville, and we worked in the anti-Klan movement in Nashville, and it was a lot. I mean, it's a lot. It was a lot of work. It was almost weekly that something happened that we were a part of. Dan and Frank are both African Americans and still my friends to this day. One of the things they came to me, I got a phone call from, I think it was Frank, and he says, "We're going to Decatur, Alabama in a couple of days. You want to come?" And I said, "Sure." And so they came and got me, and we took off. It was Frank and Dan and Dan's sister. She went with us, and we went down to Decatur, Alabama. And what was happening down in Decatur was there was a trial. There was a young man. He was like 17 years old. He was an African American kid, and he was being charged with a violent crime. And the Klan was really pro, because it involved a white girl, and the Klan was really strong going down there protesting in front of the the jail and all kinds of stuff. And so when we got down there to Decatur, there was about 500 people, I think, facing off with the Klan, and the police were, you know, kind of in between everybody and everything. But this kid, the interesting thing about this kid was that he was big for his age, but he had the mentality of a 5 or 6 year old. And the police weren't taking that into credit. They had him in jail. They had him in the main population. He was getting abused in the prison, in the jail there. And so what was going to happen is that the group was going to march from the jail, and we're going to march about a mile and a half, and we were going to go to the mother's house of this young man. And so we started off and going, and the Klan guys, they stayed back. They did seem not to go back, but everybody was really worried. And so as we got closer and closer to the house, we crossed this cross street, and I was behind Dan, and Frank was next to me, and the sister, I don't know where she was at that time. And so Frank and I were talking, and he says, "You know that 2 weeks ago, right here at this intersection, there was a shootout between the Klan and the people of Decatur." And I said, "Really? Thanks for telling me, you know." And so the Klan are violent. The Klan are very violent. If you see a Klansman, there's going to be a Nazi pretty darn close to them, because they always hang together. They have that same mentality of the hate for African Americans, for the Jewish community, for Catholics, you know, anybody that's non-white, they hate them. They really hate them. And so there's this real problem with those folks sticking together. So when we got to that spot, Frank told me that and says, "Yeah, there was a shootout." And I said, what happened? And he says, some people, the protesters, some of them got shot, and some of the Klan got shot. And so we kept on going. We got to the house, and people talked to the mother and the young man and everything, and there was no violence. But what had happened, we didn't see a lot of cops. So what it's the same technique that they use around here. They have the cops like two blocks over, you know, away from everybody. And the thing down there was, when we went back to get our cars and everything, we went the back streets, and not only did they have the police there, they had the National Guard there. And so that was really eye-opening that they would have the National Guard there watching the protesters. Well, what happened with the trial? The kid had been charged with this crime, And witnesses have said that he had ridden a bicycle. He'd ridden a bicycle down to the bus stop where this girl was, and come to find out that this kid couldn't ride a bicycle. He didn't own a bicycle. He was so uncoordinated that he could not ride a bicycle, and they were still charging him. And so when the trial went on and went on and went on, and finally, I think it was like 6 months later, they dropped all the charges on this kid, all of them. And he had spent all that time in jail, and they just dropped the charges for this young man. And so that's kind of how they work down there in this movement. I remember in Nashville, just right outside of Nashville, between Nashville and Murfreesboro, the Klan had a big get together, and they were in this big, huge open field, and they put their cross up, and you know, and at night they burned this cross, and they were all walking around in their, you know, their little uniforms with white things and their little pointed hats and all that, and the Nazis were there, and they had their Nazi flags flying, and they were lots of guns. And what was so sad about it that we saw was so sad about it, there were children, little kids, little boys and girls wearing these Klan white robes and hats, you know, the little bitty kids. And you saw it all the time. You saw it all the time when they would have marches or rallies or whatever. You'd see these little children in these Klan, you know, garb, whatever you want to call it. And that just how, you know, that it's just that continual thing. And right now, it really worries me. Right now, with what's going on, you know, when these Nazis and these Klan and these fascists, you know, don't have any, they're not afraid. They're right out in the open now, and you know, that's just not a good thing. It's just not a good thing because they're violent. They really are violent, and I've seen it, and that's a real, real problem. And we need to really watch out for them. We can't let them think that they can just come out in the open and do what they do and do what they do. We just cannot allow that to happen. We have to, you know, call them on everything they move. We got to make our state, our counties, our city governments come out and say it, you know. We have to have our federal government come out and say it, that this is not acceptable, that this fascism cannot go on. Because they attack a certain segment of our population, and so we can't let that happen. That's just not acceptable. And we got to we really have to really organize. We need to organize together and just call them on this. I want to talk a little bit about. I left Tennessee to come back to the West Coast, come back to Oregon, but I took a side trip down into California. I wanted to go down and I wanted to see some of my non-vet buddies that were living out in the Bay Area, and so I went down to down there into the Bay Area, and I wasn't going to spend much time there, but I ended up spending quite a bit of time, and I worked within the veterans movement down there. And one night there's a get together, and we all decided we were going to go there, and it was Charlie Clements. Charlie was a Vietnam veteran. He had been a pilot in Vietnam, and he became a medical doctor. And Charlie was talking about an organization that he was part of called SMRF. Salvadoran Medical Relief Fund, and they were running a clinic down in El Salvador during the revolution down in El Salvador, and Charlie had been down there working and everything, and he was up talking about it, and and you know, raising funds for it. And I thought, wow, man, that's really something I could get into, you know. And so I talked to Charlie and the people at the Smurf there in San Francisco and said that I'd like to be a part of it. And they said, fine. And so I became not an organizer. I started up in Seattle fundraising for Smurf. I fundraised up in Seattle. I came here to Portland, and I fundraised here. I went down to Eugene next and had all these meetings and raised funds there. And on my way down, I stopped in Roseburg because that's where my sister and brother-in-law live, and I wanted to see them. I hadn't seen them for a while. And so I wanted to see them, and they said they wanted me to meet a guy. And he was a non-vet, but he was also an attorney. And so I met him that night, and he said that he had been down into southern Mexico working in the refugee camps in southern Mexico, and that he wanted me to carry some money down to the refugee camp, and would I be interested in doing it? I said, sure. I'd be really happy to do it. And so I left there. And I went back down to San Francisco and met the folks at the Smurf office down in San Francisco and gave them the money. And they asked me, would you, and I said, I'm just going to go down into southern Mexico because I have this money to give to the refugee camps, there's a clinic down in the refugee camp that I had some money that I was going to give them. And they asked me if I'd carry this money down to southern Mexico and somebody from Smurf in El Salvador would come and pick the money up in southern Mexico. And okay, we're going to go back to Pledge Central and talk to Ken and Ani again and see how we're doing. You guys out there?
Absolutely. We are here for you, Marvin. Excuse me. And we know that listeners right now are really involved in what you're talking about. They are listening to how you've been organizing around these important issues, around combating racism and first taking note of it and then organizing and supporting the fight to, in fact, make the world a better place, ending racism, bringing justice for all. And, in fact, we have these conversations. They are made possible because of member support. Your contributions provide the resources for us to be on the air and on the ground each and every day, letting you know the truth from so many perspectives. Please join me. I'm Ani, and I'm here with Ken this morning and the thousands of other folks who have made the call over the years to sustain us. And right now, we're asking you to do that. Go ahead and join us all at 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and click that donate button, knowing that you are adding your strength to so many others to sustain community radio.
Oh, it's great to be here with you this morning, Ani, for the pledge drive. This is our beginning day. We're going up to September 29th. The call to become a new member or to renew your membership is 877-500-5266 or go online at kboo.fm. We have a goal for this hour, Ani, $300 goal, and we're getting some nice calls here, but we still have some dollars to go. So if you appreciate the program, I know you're listening to Marvin's show, and you might be a veteran yourself, or certainly somebody's very interested in hearing the veteran's perspective, what they're going through, and also their perspective on things that are happening right now, like white supremacy. Boy, there was several protests here recently. I know even OPB had a white supremacist on an interview show recently. Hopefully that's not something that we'll do here on KABU. But it's a very important issue here. I know the veterans have gone overseas to fight in wars to prevent this kind of racism and hatred and discrimination in the U.S. And that's what Marvin's show is bringing you. If you appreciate programming like that, give us a call at 877-500-5266 or again online at kboo.com. KBOO.FM. And Ani, we do have that prize drawing. In fact, we're going to have one for every day, a different prize.
That's absolutely right, Ken. Absolutely right. Everyone that calls today will be entered into a prize drawing. It's a $100 gift certificate from the Rebuilding Center, your local recycled goods specialist. Yes, it is an important thing to do, making that call, 877-500-5266. It's a $200 gift certificate from Cargo, gets you unique trappings from around the world. And again, all you have to do to be entered in that drawing is call 877-500-5266. You can also go to our website, kboo.fm, for all rules and restrictions and all the fine legalese. But we also really just want to put it out there, the importance of these conversations, the importance of community members informing each other, letting you know the things that we see, our observations and perspectives, and encouraging people to take that in and then decide for yourself your part in making the world a better place. And right now, it is so important to pick up your phone and think about your contribution, what you can afford to give in a monthly way to your community radio station, what can you budget, and I'm suggesting $15 a month. It adds up to $180 over the course of a year, but if you call right now, you get entered into that drawing, and you get us so much closer to our goal. We're looking to raise $105,000 for this fall membership drive, and working together, we do that. Working together, we can achieve great things. So please join the thousands of other folks supporting this community radio station, folks like myself, folks like Ken, folks like you, right there. It is time for you to renew your membership, or maybe become a new membership, right? A new member, okay. Right now at 877-500-5266.
Ani, you mentioned community, and I think that's really the. I've been a KBOO member for many years now, and volunteer here for about 3.5-4 years, and I've noticed that it's really the focus of the Portland community among activists, among theater people, stand-up comics, authors, writers, performers, all sorts of folks. It's kind of a central location where people can kind of find out what's going on around town, get the word out, and I don't think there's any other station in town like that, so that's what your money is going to support when you become a new member, or renew your membership at 877-500-5266. And like Ani said, $15 a month, we have people manning the phones now, staffing the phones, and they can take your call, and they can guide you through the process, credit card, debit card, bank withdrawal. It's relatively painless, that $15 a month. $180 all at once sounds like a big sum, but laid out over the course of a year. Also, think of what you're supporting when you do call in 877-500-5266 and make that contribution. You're supporting almost 50 years of community radio, Ani.
That's so true. We have a legacy here at KBOO, and we have a legacy that helps you reject the notion that you are just a passive consumer of media, that your partnership with KBOO through your membership, you actually become a media activist. You become a person who is there saying that this is an important platform for all of the community members to be able to use to help make the world a better place. See yourself as part of the solution. Be part of the solution. Your contribution of $15 a month is a way that will make a substantive impact to our community and to KBOO's financial health so that we can continue this legacy and go on for another 50 years with you, your involvement, your partnership. Please give us a call right now at 877-500-5266 and be entered for that chance to win, become a media activist, join those who have joined KBOO.
In fact, as part of our morning public affairs, we start off every weekday at 7 a.m. with Amy Goodman's Democracy Now! There's one quote that I have from Amy that I absolutely love, and I think it certainly applies to KBOO and to you as a listener. Independent media is the oxygen of a democracy. And there's times when we see that oxygen running out. when you've got the all these big media conglomerates buying up, like recently K2 was bought by Sinclair Broadcasting, which is somewhat to the right. That definitely affects the programming there. So KABU, I think, is one of the last independent media outlets in town. And your money, when you call up to become a new member or renew your membership, it goes to keeping that going. 877-500-5266. Keep that oxygen up so we all can breathe in our democracy.
That's it. It is so important to hear from you, and so that you can know that we have so much more to offer in terms of conversations, information, music, poetry, theater, arts, all of it that Ken was talking about. We are that hub in the community, and you are the support for that. So please, right now, call 877-500-5266. Contribute right now to support radio that doesn't shy away from difficult conversations. You are a part of this with your ears. Now join us with your financial support. 877-500-5266.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks, Ani. And join KABU, because it's very important with the mess that's going on in this country right now. KABU is going to be the center of a lot of information giving out as this thing gets even worse in this country. Like I was saying, I got down to San Francisco and they asked me if I'd carry this money down, because I was going down to the state of Chiapas down on the Guatemalan border. And they asked me if I would take the money down there with me, and that I would meet some people coming up from El Salvador that would pick the money up and take it back with them. And I said, sure. And they said, well, you're going to maybe have some trouble going through when you land in Mexico City, going through their customs down there, and they're going to pull you aside. I can guarantee it, they said. And so we sat down and we came up with a plan. And what the plan was, that I would have a envelope with $500 in it in my bag. And the rest of the money, I would have it shoved in my socks, around my waist, in my pants. You know, I had tucked my shirt in and had money stuck there around my waist and everything, so we could get that money through. And sure enough, I landed that morning in Mexico City. I was standing in line. The federale came up, tapped me on the shoulder, took me into this room. It went through my bag. I had my bag with me, and he opened my bag and was going through, looking at stuff and everything, and he zipped it back, my bag back up, handed it to me, and told me to get back in line. I went back, got in line, and went through, and then I got went to the gate to catch my flight down to southern Mexico. When I got on the airplane, I opened my bag up, and that envelope was gone. So that kind of helped me get through customs when they just took that money right out of there instead of frisking me. And so I landed at this airport called Tuxtla. Was in Chiapas. I caught a bus from Chiapas, from Tuxtla down to San Cristobal de las Casas, which is a really beautiful trip. It's a winding road. It's in through the mountains. It's really pretty. And I got to the San Cristobal, and I went and got a room at a posada, a little hotel posada, took a nap, and then got up to go to dinner. And I was supposed to meet the folks from El Salvador at a certain hotel, restaurant that evening. And so I get up, I put all the money I had, the money that they gave me, in a bag, and headed off to the restaurant. I got to the restaurant and sat down and started ordered and drank. Back then, it was 82, I think it was. I still drank. I haven't drank in 30 years or so. But I was drinking a beer and having a thing, and there was two people sitting next to me. White guy and a girl, and we start talking and everything, and that turned out to be the folks I was supposed to meet. And so we were talking, and he was a non-vet. He was working down in El Salvador at the clinic. And we sat and we talked, and I gave him the money, and I went back to the posada and went to sleep, and they left. I never saw her again, but I saw him again when I went to El Salvador. And the next morning, I got up and I went to the Catholic church. There's this huge Catholic church in San Cristobal, and on the side of the church is this little shop, and they sold stuff from that they made out the refugee camp. There was three refugee camps out there, out on the border by Lagos Montebello's, and the woman sold you know, really nice material and just wonderful things in there. And I walked in and introduced myself to her, and she said, "Oh, thank you." I gave her the money and everything, and she says, "Oh, thank you very much. Come back tonight and have dinner with me and my brother." And I said, "Sure, why not?" And so I went back. I just laid around and, you know, rest and everything, and went back there and for dinner. And I met her. She was waiting for me at the door to the little shop, and she closed it up. We walked around. We went into the church, this big cathedral looking church, and her brother turned out to be the bishop, Samuel Ruiz Garcia, Bishop Samuel Garcia, and he was the bishop for down in that area. And the government called him the Red Bishop. Because he worked for the people, and he was a wonderful man. He just died in 2011. He was a wonderful man, just a wonderful man. And we talked, and they both spoke English, and we talked, and I told him about being in the war and why I did stuff like this, and we just had a really good meal. And I was getting ready to go, and he says, "You want to go with me to the refugee camps tomorrow morning?" And I thought, yeah, sure I do. And so I got up early the next morning and went back to the cathedral, and he was there. At that time, they couldn't wear their clothes, their religious clothes, you know, to once outside of the church. So he was in his leisure suit. And he had a really, you know, a nice old car, and we drove about 40 miles or 50 miles. Down through the, going towards the refugee camps. And as you go down through there, the closer you get to the border, there's more checkpoints that the federales have, these checkpoints. So you have to go stop at these checkpoints. They check your papers and everything. They never checked the bishops. They knew who he was. And so we kept going. We came to another one, we did the same thing. And we hit another one, we did the same thing. And then when we got closer, we took a dirt road up the little mountain and then back down. And in the valley, this really pretty valley, there was a little bitty town, and I can't remember the name of it. But we went right to the clinic because he had some medicine and everything that he wanted to give. His niece was a nurse, and she was running the clinic at that time. And so we went there, and I met the niece, and we spent the day there. And the refugee camps, the three refugee camps, were really, really right on the border of Guatemala. And at that time, the federales had come down and kicked all civilians off of this camp, of the camps. And so they were refugees that were coming out of Nicaragua, out of El Salvador, and out of Guatemala, because there was revolutions going on, and these people were leaving. And so that day we didn't try to go into the camp, so we just helped around the little clinic there. And there were a lot of people coming in, you know, and getting help and everything. They would sneak out of the camps, and they would come in and get medical care. And so I think he stayed down there 2 days. I think 2 days the bishop stayed down there 2 days, and it was time to go. And he asked me if I wanted to stay and help in the clinic, and I said, "Sure, I do." And so I had a little room in this little wooden building that was my room, a little nothing place. And every morning I would get up and go to the clinic I would go to the clinic and help them at the clinic. The first day that we were there, there was nobody in the clinic. Everybody was like outside of the clinic. And he said, well, that's because they don't know you. Once they get to know you, they'll be comfortable with you, and they'll come in. And his niece said the same thing, and so they did. They did become used to me after a while, and so my job was I kept the medicine. I did all the medicine, and the syringes and the Band-Aids and the alcohol and all of that stuff, and I would wash the babies up. And little children, if they brought little children and little babies, I would keep a pot of hot water on the stove, and I would wash these little children up. We had some clothes there; we'd give them clothes and everything, and little treats for the kids. And there was a lot of malnutrition there. When there's malnutrition, their lips would turn blue. And so if we would look at these. At people, if their lips were blue, we knew they were malnutrition, and there was a lot of infections and different things like that. There was quite a few women that were pregnant, and you know, we just took as much care of them as we could, and then that's what, you know, that was kind of my job. And at night, we'd all go to this other little place, and we'd have dinner, and we'd talk about what was going on that day and what we were going to do the next day. And so I'll talk about that after. We're going to go back to Pledge Central here and talk with Ken and Ani again and get some money for our station, because we have to keep on the air. We're it for the movement.
we are that hub, Marvin. It's so important that people have access to this resource, and that's why people are listening right now. You right now are listening because you want to go a little bit deeper into what's happening, and you want to hear the stories about how people have come to consciousness, and you want to hear stories about what moves people to action, and you want to hear about how we organize together to make the world a better place. And KABU is a center point for those conversations and for that action to spring from, because your contributions. You have provided the resources for us to be here, and your contributions make it all possible. So we're asking you to step forward and contribute right now during our fall membership drive. I'm Ani. I'm here with Ken. We're members of KABU. We're volunteers. I'm also a staff person. And we are here because we know it's vitally important to the community for KABU to exist. And you know that as well. That's why you are moved to pick up your phone right now and dial 877-500-5266 so that you know you are doing your part with your contribution. A sustaining membership of $15 a month adds up to $180 over the course of a year. It's a bite-sized piece that many people listening right now can take into your budget. So we're asking you to do so and make that call. Become a participating member of KABU today, 877-500-5266.
And you might be interested, Ani, and listeners, Ani, of course, knows where that money goes. Our yearly budget is about $800,000, so we operate extremely efficiently. So your money is used very wisely here. I have a few examples. $120 membership, for example, so $10 a month. That produces 1 week's worth of KABU's news in depth. We have a volunteer newscast every weekday at 5 o'clock, 5 to 6. News in depth is usually 5:45 to 6 o'clock. And that can include going out into the protests, getting the voices of people there, the voice of the people, we call it. We have a special, in fact, that was running this week, produced by Tom Flynn, on the aftermath of the Hollywood Max murders. And that's all financed and supported by your memberships. If you're not a member and you're listening to KABU, it's time to become a member. This is the perfect time. Beautiful fall day. Ani, on her show today, was talking about the crispness of autumn and apples and the smells and the sounds and all that, the air, the fresh air. 877-500-5266 or online at KBOO.com. KBOO90.FM. Also, another thing that your money goes to, Ani runs a volunteer orientation. She gets pretty much, I can't say sells out, but a packed house every month when she runs it. A very interesting group of people, a very diverse group of Portlanders that come in. Sometimes it's their first exposure to Portland and the activist community, and that's financed by your membership. I teach Introduction to Audio Production, where any member of the community can come in and learn how to use a production studio here, how to use the mic, how to record themselves, how to record a telephone interview, things like that. That's all free training that's supported by your membership. So the money is used very efficiently, very wisely. So if you're not a member, become one now at 877-500-5266 or Ani online at kboo.fm.
Absolutely. Again, that number, 877-500-5266. It is your contribution that makes it all possible. We want your, you know that you are listening again to get the information that is scarce in other areas, that is connecting, that is empowering. Sometimes it's hard news, right? Sometimes it's hard to listen to, but there is always something empowering about the idea that this is community centered and this is driven by people of great heart who volunteer their time to share their perspectives, to create the amazing content that we hear throughout the day on KBOO. And we know that right now you understand your connection to that and that you are moved to contribute what you can. We're asking for $15 a month, adding up to $180 over the course of a year. And we would love to hear from you. Calling at 877-500-5266 so that you again can be a part of this amazing community. It's you, our grassroots supporters, that keep us independent and on the air. We depend on you as you depend on us. It's a reciprocal relationship. So please call right now, 877-500-5266, and sustain us. You can also go to kboo.fm and let us, you can check out all of our offerings. But you can also click that red donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. You can check out all manner of shows that are archived there. We've been able to make steady improvements to our website because you have made it possible through your contributions. You make such a difference here at KBOO when you call. So please call right now, 877-500-5266.
Thanks, Ani. Thanks, Ken. And thanks, everybody. Please call the KBOO so we can keep going at our wonderful radio station. I haven't got much time, I'm going to tell you. We used to sneak into the camps at night and do medical work in the camps at night. And I got caught one morning about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning. We were done. And the nurse went one way down one trail, and I went down another trail. And as I was coming around a corner, the federales caught me. They arrested me. They took me to San Cristobal, put me in a jail there. From there, they took me up to Tuxtla and put me on a plane, flew me to Mexico City, and kicked me out of their country. And so that's how I I haven't been back to Mexico since, but I think probably now I could. But there was a lot of work to be done down in that area at that time. And the bishop, Samuel Reyes Garcia, he was the mediator between the government and the Zapatistas during the Zapatista rebellion down in Chiapas. He was really just a wonderful, wonderful man, and it was a sad day when he died. I want to thank everybody that's called in and to help our wonderful radio station to stay on the air. And our next show, Angie will be back, and we'll get back to the way we usually do things and not have me talking about the things I've done and hopefully the more things I'm going to do to try to make this world a better place for all of us, you know, for the working class, for my gay brothers and sisters and everybody And we just have to keep our wonderful radio station going. And we'll be back Friday, October 20th at 9 a.m. And Sam, there it is. Thanks for everybody, and please call in. Thank you.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of VIVE's Grand Opening Weekend and 10th Birthday, Friday, September 22nd at VIVE in Portland. VIVE's Grand Opening Weekend and 10th Birthday will unveil VIVE of Portland's new studio along with a celebration of a decade of empowering kids through art. Again, that's VIVE's Grand Opening Weekend and 10th Birthday, Friday, September 22nd at 7 p.m. at VIVE of Portland's new studio at 5633 Southeast Division Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Revolution Coffee House, located at 1432 Southwest 6th Avenue in Portland, serving traditional comfort Mexican drinks, cafe de olla, food, and desserts. Lunch was provided by Bridges Cafe and Catering, located at 2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, serving breakfast all day, every day, and lunch on weekdays from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Dinner was provided by Di Nicola's, located at 3520 Southeast Powell Boulevard in Portland, serving Italian food for over 40 years. For more information on how you can